Greetings and welcome to another RVW Wealth Wisdom Podcast. With me today are our senior team members, Jonathan Gerber, my son, and our partner, Stefan So, as we bring you ideas that are practical, relevant, and things that you can put to use immediately in the enhancement of your own journey along the wealth path. The topic for today's presentation is tax impact, because as we all know, it's not what you earn, it's what you keep. And that's a simplification of a very complex group of ideas that we'll be covering today in brief, where you need to look at not only what funds have produced in terms of income, but what the taxes are that they cost you. Most of you have heard of ETFs, exchange-traded funds. There'll be another podcast dedicated just to ETFs. But for right now, know that ETFs are an extremely tax-efficient way to access equities, because within the ETF, gains can generally be deferred well into the future. And so that as an owner of an ETF, you very seldom have taxable income generated by transactions within the fund itself. So you look at that, and then you also look at the frequent distinction between people investing in tax-free bonds or taxable bonds. And it is our opinion that many of those who own tax-free bonds would be better served if they earned the higher yields typically associated with taxable bonds, because the tax-free nature isn't of tax benefit to them given their particular tax brackets. If that's too complicated for you, call your CPA and ask a simple question, which is, should I be in taxable or tax-free bonds? And chances are you just might find out that you could earn a whole lot more interest on your bonds by converting to taxable bonds, because the tax-free benefit isn't worth enough to you to offset the reduced income that you get. With that, I'll hand over to John, who'll pick up the tax impact ideas relative to portfolio design.
I want to start off by just explaining that having a CPA either on the financial planning team or as part of the discussion is absolutely critical. Not only does a CPA have a unique insight into the tax implications of the portfolio, but you have to give credibility to the advice and guidance of a CPA, given the training involved in the designation. And I'll just pound my chest for a moment here and tell you that I do have my CPA as well as my securities licenses. And I want to tell you that the training and education involved in obtaining the CPA was much more rigorous than those of my securities licenses. And if possible, engage your CPA in the planning discussion, definitely in the portfolio design process, and definitely at year end, because the insight they have when looking at the portfolio relative to your income tax position can add a whole lot to the after-tax net income of your portfolio design and strategy. Stefan, tell us a little bit about some examples you've seen where things are optimized and where they could be better.
Yeah, great points. And in terms of the after-tax returns, that's where it becomes really crucial for a lot of investors. As you mentioned, in certain funds, a lot of the taxable implications that might happen in, let's say, mutual funds. If the turnover happens to be, let's say, over 100%, which is what we see often when analyzing the portfolios from big banks, is that everything becomes ordinary income because it's short term. So as you mentioned, John, the key focus here is after tax returns. Generally, as Salwa mentioned, in exchange traded funds, a lot of the implication when you're selling out of a particular company and buying back in within an ETF structure, that is generally not a taxable event. So that's one of the examples where it's absolutely crucial for all investors to really look at all their portfolio holdings and see if you're one in mutual funds versus exchange traded funds. And then second, if you happen to be in mutual funds, what is the actual turnover ratio?
Tell us a little bit about foreign holdings and where that they ought to be held in a perfectly designed portfolio.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point as well. And a lot of the times, again, when we analyze statements, what we're looking for are various factors, but one of which is looking for where foreign investments are held. For example, if foreign investments are held in a taxable account, we're happy with that. Why? Because the tax credits that's generated by the foreign holdings in a taxable account, you're getting the full benefit for. However, if it's, let's say, in a tax-deferred account, such as a 401k, IRA, and so forth, you're not getting those tax credits. So that's one of the things we look for on the tax side analysis of an investment holding portfolio.
Just going a little deeper over there, Stefan, if I may. Basically, what investors need to realize is when you're buying an investment in a foreign mutual fund or ETF, particularly a mutual fund.
Or a foreign stock.
Or a foreign stock directly. There are frequently taxes withheld by the country in which those profits are earned. So, for example, if you own stock in a German company or a German mutual fund, the profits will be, the dividends will be taxed in the originating country, and that tax will be paid into that government. In exchange, though, those taxing authorities will generally issue what's called a tax credit certificate that entitles us as American taxpayers to get a tax credit on our local tax for our proportion of the tax paid overseas. The problem is when it's invested in a retirement or pension fund or other tax-free entity, that in fact those credits are worthless. They're only worthwhile, as Stefan was saying, in a taxable account.
So Stefan, as interest rates are rising, where should clients be holding their bonds relative to their dividend-yielding stocks in order to secure cash flow on a monthly basis?
Yeah, one thing to first consider is looking at what the allocation is between, let's say, stocks and bonds. And from there, what's really important is dividends are preferentially treated in terms of tax. However, with bonds, it is not, because it is counted as ordinary income. So now the second part is asking your CPA what the preferential tax treatment should be, because all else equal, as interest rates start to go up and up, most people might prefer to have their stock dividend yield to be placed in a taxable account. While interest rates are going up, in that case, place in a tax deferred or tax exempt account to make sure that you're shielded from taxes in those bond buckets.
So interest on corporate bonds is subject to ordinary income tax, which has historically or for the last few years been a non-issue because rates have been so low. But as rates are rising, you're thinking we should at least consider putting those positions into our retirement accounts so that interest income is tax-free by virtue of the account holding. And then looking to the dividends, which tend to be taxed at an advantaged rate, putting those dividend-yielding stocks in the taxable account to create cash flow on a month-to-month basis.
So the takeaway for today's podcast is be tax savvy. Don't just focus on what you earn. Take a look at what you keep and bear in mind that to minimize tax, you need to be as tax savvy about not only what you buy, but where it's held. Should it be held personally or in your IRA or other retirement fund? That's it from us at RVW. And remember, great portfolios haven't performed well all the time, but they've certainly performed well over time. Happy investing.
This podcast is not intended to constitute investment, legal, or tax advice. The ideas and strategies expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those recommended or implemented by RVW Wealth. Please consult and rely exclusively on your professional advisors.